that word kindness lightly. That's a Hebrew word that says it's called hased. It's a hasidic love. That's a loyal love. Amen. How many married folk we got in here? That's the kind of love you want your spouse to have for you. A loyal love. Amen. Amen. No, that wasn't strong enough. Amen. 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 You love them, right? But you want a hasidic love. A loyal love. Because sometimes folks say they love you. But when trouble comes, they're out the door. Amen. Sometimes folks say they care about you. But when trouble comes, you can't count on them. But David and Jonathan entered into a covenant relationship because they shared that hasidic love for one another, a loyal type of love. And it's good to have a friend like that, somebody you can count on, somebody you can trust in. And it's good that God can be a friend to us. Amen. Because we can always count on him. I don't know about this one over here, or that one over there, but with God, I can count on him. Amen. He's never caused me any problems. Amen. Amen. He's never talked about me behind my back. If he's got something to say, he says it directly to me. Amen. Amen. Whether it's good or bad, he says it directly to me. He doesn't do like some folk. They go behind your back and they'll talk about you. And they'll go over here and talk about you, but they won't say it to your face. Even if it's needed for you to better yourself, they still won't tell you. But God will say what he needs to say to you directly. He doesn't have to go around your back talking about you. Amen. But I also noticed that there's another person that's involved in this story. Mephibosheth. And we all can identify with Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan and David had a covenant. And Jonathan asked David, as long as you're living, and as long as somebody in my household is living, I want you to show that loving kindness to them. And I want you to have that same loyal love to them that you had with me. And if you can just do that for me, as long as there's somebody in my house that's alive. And David said, I'll do it. They entered into that covenant agreement. And now David comes into remembrance of that. And he says, is there anybody left in Saul's house that I can show my kindness to? And the servant said, there's one called Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth is a crippled individual. On his handmaiden's way out, running from the enemy, she dropped him. And he became lame in both feet from being dropped. We can all identify with Mephibosheth. Well, you're looking at me saying, wait a minute, I'm not lame in my feet. I got use of all of my limbs. I walk, I talk, I do everything I need to do. But I'm here to tell you that we've all been crippled by sin. Amen. One way or another, somewhere in your life, you got crippled by sin. Sin dropped you. Amen. You might not have gotten up with broken feet or broken arms, but you've gotten up with a broken spirit. You might have gotten up with a broken heart. Sin has crippled us along the way. And we have gone through life crippled and deformed because of sin. But there is hope. Because there's somebody that can help you deal with that crippled situation. And he's a king. And his name is Jesus. But let's look at this story and we'll find out how we ought to respond when we come to the king's table. Because that's the thing that when we come to God's table, sometimes folk take that for granted. Again, it's a privilege that you can come to the table. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that we come here tonight. Even though it's Saturday, it's still a privilege. Many folk limit God to Sunday morning. God shows up whenever he needs to, anytime he needs to. I remember reading it and said, God has the right to interrupt my life anytime he feels like it.
Amen.
Anytime he feels like it. He can just interrupt my life and take his plan and run with it. But if you look at verse 6, I know you still got your Bibles open. In verse 6 it says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. The first thing you see there is Mephibosheth came to the king. That's a problem that some folk have. They don't want to come to the king. But remember, we're in a crippled situation because of sin. But if you don't come to the king, how are you going to get the help that you need? You got to first come to the king. But you notice the king called Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth just wasn't outside waiting around, but the king specifically called him. He sent somebody to go get the king. I mean, go get Mephibosheth. You know, God has this messenger, this agent that he sends out. And he calls people to come to the king. It's called the Holy Spirit. You know about him, don't you? The third person of the Trinity. He comes and he calls upon you, pressing on your heart. Come to the king. Come to the king. But so many times folk ignore that invitation to come to the king. You don't know what you're missing. You have a right to come to the table because the king has invited you to come to the table. And because he has invited you to come to the table, that's an honor. That's a privilege. And when you come, you ought to come in reverence. Come in reverence. Folk don't know how to come to church anymore. Amen, Pastor Don. Ouch. Folk don't know how to come to church anymore. How often do you prepare to come to church? I did a moment with the children and youth one time, and I used an illustration. How many of us, when we're getting ready for the Super Bowl, we go out, we buy chips and dip, and we buy sodas because we don't indulge in that other stuff anymore. We buy the chips, the dips, the cookies. We make the house all nice and clean and neat, right? And we invite everybody over. And you're disappointed if some folk don't show up, right? Well, what about coming to church? How much time do you spend preparing to come to church? Are you making sure that you got your mind set on worship? Have you got your mind set that I'm coming this morning to meet Jesus? I'll meet some other folk and fellowship with them along the way, but I really came to meet Jesus. I'm glad to see you today, but I didn't really come for you. I came for Jesus. And I came to allow him to speak to my heart. I may have some issues that need to be dealt with, so I need Jesus. I'm glad to see you, but I need Jesus. Prepare your hearts and your mind to come to worship. Come in a reverent, respectful way. To honor the God that you serve, to honor the God that you love. And not only that, come as a servant. Mephibosheth said, your servant. Come as a servant. How many of you love to serve God? You love to serve God. So Pastor Don, you have no problem asking anybody to do anything. Amen. Because everybody is willing to serve God. No matter what you've been called upon to do. If you love the Lord, and if you come to church in reverence and you come to be a servant to Almighty God, then you're willing to put your hand to the plow. You're willing to roll up your sleeves and do whatever it takes. I remember I had a Sunday where I taught, I had to come in one Sunday morning and put the chairs out. Not only that, but I had to teach Sunday school. Didn't have to do that, but the pastor was out of town, so I had to preach that Sunday morning as well. And not only that, when church was over, I had to pick up paper and put the chairs back up. It didn't matter to me. I was serving God. I did it. Folk looked at me and said, why are you doing that? There's nobody else doing it. Somebody has to do it. Just because I preach doesn't mean that I can't serve, I can't work. When you have been called into ministry, you've been called to a higher level of service. That's all it is service. That word minister just means service. We've been called to higher levels of service. So when you come in and you respond to the call of God, and you come in a reverent way, and you come to serve God, that's why you have a right to be at the table. God has called you to the table. And aren't you glad to be seated at that table? Remember when David said that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Y'all don't understand what that means, does it? He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. God has prepared a table in the presence of his enemy, of your enemies, But he's told you to come and sit and dine in the presence of your enemies. That's peace. Folk are out to get you, but God says, sit down and eat. Folk talking about you, but God says, sit down and eat. I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. A testimony to them, a testimony against them, that you have somebody working in your life that's greater than them. You have somebody in your life that's more powerful than them. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side. So, son, come sit down and eat. Oh, when I understood that thing, when I asked the question, though, why can I come to the table? He says, because I've called you to the table. And because I've called you to the table, don't come any kind of way. Come correct. Come in reverence. And come prepared to serve if I call upon you. How many times you've been in church and God called you to do something? And if you take too long, he calls somebody else, won't he? And I've experienced that myself. And I said from that day on, God, never again. If you call me, if you ask me to do anything, because I sat in service and God was pressing upon my heart, and I took too long. And the next thing I know, I felt that unction just move away from me. And somebody else got up and did the very thing that God was calling me to do. And I said from that point on, never again. You call me, God, I'll do it. You give me the strength, I'll do it. You give me the gift and the talent, I'll do it. I don't care what it is, I'll do it. God won't ask you to do anything crazy. It may look crazy to other folk, but he won't ask you to do anything crazy. Amen. And I think that's why some folk are scared to respond to God, because they're thinking he's going to ask them to do something off the wall and something crazy. He's God. Everything he does, he says, is in decency and in order. It might not be in your order, but it's in decency and it's in order. His order. Then the second thing you've got to look at, it says in verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You not only respond to the call of God, but you're responding to the blessings of God. Oh, y'all not excited about that? You're responding to the blessings of God. It's a privilege to be at the table. But then there are some blessings by being at the table. Oh, you know how it is when you go to grandmama's house on Thanksgiving or your mama's house on Thanksgiving, and you know your mama can throw down in the kitchen. You look forward to being there, don't you? And for some of you that, well, I'm not going to say it like that. For some folk that have people in their household that are challenged in the kitchen, it's a blessing to be where somebody can cook. Amen. Now, my wife, she can cook. Amen. You can tell. Amen. She can cook. But some folk don't have that privilege. And when they go to Thanksgiving somewhere else and they sit down at the table, they just glad to be there. They know they're going to get a good meal. When you come to the King's table, be glad to be there, because you know you're going to get some blessings on the way. The first thing you see, there's a blessing, a relief of your fear. Isn't that what he said? And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Don't be afraid. Now, Mephibosheth had a reason to be afraid, because he was in the house of Saul, a threat to the throne. But David is calling him to come to the table. Now, on the way there, he probably was running all kind of things through his mind. Why is he bringing me to the table? Is he trying to kill me? What is he going to do to me when I get there? But when you find out, when you get there, that he says, come, sit down, sit at the table. You don't need to be afraid. And there are times in my life where I found out that God said, there's no need to be afraid. Especially when I gave my life to him, there's no need to be afraid. I don't fear death anymore. I got my home in glory. I don't fear a whole lot of things anymore, because I understand some things now about God, because I ask questions. Well, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to do this? God says, don't worry. Don't worry. I got your back. Isn't that good to have a friend that's always got your back? Every time you turn around, he's right there. Every time you go somewhere and you turn around, he's right there. I don't care where you are, what kind of situation you find yourself in, he's got your back. You might be up against a host of evil and wicked folk, but you got a friend that's standing right beside you, ready to take it on, toe to toe. And guess what? I don't care how many it is, he's able to defeat them all. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad to have a king like that. He's not going to just sit on the throne and look down at me and say, look, you do it all. But he'll roll up his sleeves when he needs to and come and get in the battle with you. He'll come and fight your battles for you. That's the kind of king we serve. Who is this King of Kings? Who is this Lord of Hosts? Open up the gates and let the King of Glory come in. Open the gates and let the King of Glory come in. Maybe you haven't opened your gates as of yet. And allow the King of Glory to come into your life. And receive that invitation to come and sit at the King's table. Where the blessings of the Lord are. There's a true blessing when you come to the King's table. You can not only have a blessing being relieved of your fears, but you can have the blessing of that love. That loyal kind of love. God is there to love us. I'm glad you talked about that tonight. Love. He's there to love you like no other can. Your wife may get cross-eyed at you sometimes, but God still loves you. Your husband may act a fool sometimes, but God still loves you. You don't have to worry about him. When there's no one there to hold you, he reaches his arms out and he holds you in his arms. When you're weeping in the midnight hour and there's no one there to wipe your tears, God will gently wipe your tears away. When you find yourself with your back against the wall, God comes along. He tells you, don't fear. Come on and go with me. I'll walk you through this trouble. Oh, you remember when you were back in school when you had those bullies? Oh, maybe I didn't have bullies, but and sometimes you were scared to go certain places because you knew you might run into that bully. And God is like that big brother that said, come on, as long as you're walking with me, nobody's going to bother you. Aren't you glad about that? Because he loves you. He protects you. He cares for you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you. And then there's restoration. You saw where he says he's given Mephibosheth what? All of the land that belonged to his father Saul. Here he is, a crippled individual living on the run. Now he's been invited back to the king's house to sit at the table. And he says, I'm going to give you back all the land that belonged to Saul. That's restoration. I've had to be restored. I don't know about you, but I've had to be restored. All mankind has have to be restored. Ever since our great, 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 great grandfather, probably some more greats in there, Adam messed it up. We've in need of restoration. When Adam messed it up, he messed it up for all of us. That's why you ever notice why it's so easy for us to sin? You ever wonder why that is? It's always easy to do the wrong thing, isn't it? But it's hard to do the right thing. And we was men's Bible study last night, and I told them, I said, well, somehow that subject came up about taking that second look at women. And I said, once you walk past her, you can admire her beauty and let her go on by. But when you take that double look, you messed up. Because Jesus said, if you lust after in your heart, you're just as guilty of committing adultery. You didn't touch her, but in your mind, you undressed her. In your mind, you did everything you wanted to do. You messed up. Restoration needs to take place. He's a God of restoration. The king can restore you back to the rightful place that you need to be. And then you have a position now of righteousness. Before Mephibosheth was sitting in fear, wondering what was going to happen to him, living on the run. But the king brought him in and said, it's all right. I'm going to give you a place at the table. And now he has a place at the table, a place of righteousness, because he's got a right to be there. He doesn't have to fear anymore. He doesn't have to worry about anything more. He can sit down with the rest of them and eat like he wants to. Enjoy the meal that has been prepared before him. Aren't you glad when you come to church on Sunday morning that Pastor Don has been before the Lord and he's prepared a meal for you? And he's delivering that meal and he's serving it up on a royal platter and allowing you just to eat as much as you want. And I'm here to tell you, don't be a picky eater. That means don't pick and choose what you're going to take out of that message. Eat the whole thing. It's a buffet. Eat all you can take. Amen. Eat it all. Take that word and let it digest in you. And then as you let that word digest in you, you got something you full. But then go out and share that word. We don't come to church on Sunday morning just to hear a word and then go out and say, my Pastor Don Show did preach good today, didn't he? No, you got to take that word with you in your everyday life. Take you a takeaway. And then when you get that takeaway, you take it and implement it in your life. And when you implement it in your life, you'll be able to share it with somebody else because you put it into practice. Amen. That place of righteousness. I'm in a right standing with God. I'm glad that I have a right standing with God because once I was not in right standing with him. And because I was not in right standing with him, I didn't deserve to be at the table. But he allowed me the privilege to come, even though I didn't deserve to. And you know, back then they had this custom when you came to somebody's house, they had servants that would clean you up. They would wash your feet, allow you to wash your hands. If you need to freshen up your clothes, we don't do that anymore, do we? You imagine how people would respond when they came to your house and you just began to wash their feet and come on, let's just take your shoes off. We're going to wash your feet here. And we're just going, oh, that hurt right there? We're going to massage that thing for you. Huh? Can you imagine that? Yeah, he found time to keep on going. But it's God cleaning you up. Come on in the house. And I'm not just inviting you in, but I'm inviting you to come in and partake. Come on in the house. And then it says in verse 8, not only do you have to respond to the call, but not only do you have to respond to the blessings, but you respond in humility. In verse 8 it says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? Wow. None of us would refer to ourselves as dead dogs, would we? But when you realize that you're standing in the presence of a mighty king, when you realize you're standing in the presence of Almighty God, what else can you refer yourself to? I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve to feel your presence. I don't deserve to feel your joy, but you gave it to me anyway. I'm unworthy. I consider myself a dead dog. Just to be here in your presence. And that's taking a posture of humility. Sometimes you got to humble yourself. You got to come. And it said Mephibosheth bowed down. You got to bow down before God. There's nothing wrong with you bowing before the Lord. Because he's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your reverence. So when you take that posture of humility, that means that in my heart, I don't hold a pride. I'm coming to church to worship God. Amen. And because I'm coming and because I'm at the table, I'm going to take a posture in my heart of humility. I didn't have to wake up this Sunday morning, but I'm coming to meet my Lord and Savior. He didn't have to allow me to see another day or breathe another breath, but I'm coming to see my Lord and Savior. And because he's been so gracious unto me, because he's been so loving unto me, I come and I bow down in reverence. I bow my heart. I bow my head. Because you, O God, are worthy and you alone are worthy, O God, to worship. And when I bow with a posture, then I have to take a position of humility. The posture and the position are different. Some of us take a posture of humility, but we are not in a position of humility. Amen. You know, we fake it sometimes. Amen. Sometimes you may be bowing your head, but your heart is not bowed. You can't fool God. You may bow your head, but it says in the word, He knows your heart. God does not judge the outer man. He judges the inner man. I know what's in your heart. I know what's on your mind. I know what you said to them church folk. I know how you stood and done this before them. But I know what's in your heart. Have you had a heart check lately? Have you had a heart checkup lately? Have you gotten your blood pressure checked lately to make sure that everything is all right? Let God check it. Amen. Let Him begin to do surgery on you. It may be some things that He'll have to cut away. But it'll be all right. You'll be better when it's over. You ask somebody that had a bad heart and they got a new one, I guarantee you they'll tell you, it's better now. I got a triple bypass, but I'm better now. Because God had to cut away some things that were not right. He has to cut away some things that didn't belong. That's why He said, I am the vine, thou art the branches. If you're not connected to me, you can't do anything. You got to stay connected to Him. And sometimes when you're connected to Him, He's got to cut away some things. And sometimes when He cuts them away, it may be a little painful. It may be a little difficult, but in the end, it'll be worth it. So when you take that posture of humility and that position of humility, then you'll find yourself, you have to take the mentality of humility. You sometimes got to get it past your actions, past your heart, and get it to this mind. This mind is a terrible thing to waste, as they say. But we do it all the time. Sometimes we take this mentality that God has given us and we use it for the wrong purposes. When you start messing up here, it starts to work its way down through the rest of your body. You ever wonder why that is? Thoughts come. Thoughts come. And then next thing you know, you got an action. And then when it's all said and done, I didn't want to do that. You didn't check that thought. You didn't take a mentality of humility. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive. Because every thought that comes to your mind is not of God. Satan will throw some things in there too. It sounds good to your flesh. And because it sounds good to your flesh will tell you, go ahead and do it. I saw a commercial today and they had I guess it was a Las Vegas commercial where they had the devil on one side and he was telling the guy to go for it, go for it. But then they had the angel sitting between two women talking about, yeah, listen to him. I'm like, wait a minute. They corrupted the angel. He talking about, you want to go upstairs? I can get you upstairs. I know the man upstairs. I can get you upstairs. I'm like, wait a minute. What is it? There are no boundaries anymore for the world. There was one last week, there's a comedian that got on stage and she used some explicits about Jesus. And she thought it was all right. There are no boundaries. So if the world has no boundaries, we as Christians ought to have some boundaries. Because we have a right to come to the table. We've been invited to the table. We've experienced the blessings that belong at the table. And we've also come in a sense of humility. So when we come to the table, understand you have a right to be at the table because God has called you to the table. And because He's called you to the table, there are some blessings there at the table. But when you come, make sure you come in the right way. In a sense of humility. Reverencing God, respecting Him, and honoring Him for who He is. He is your King. He is your Lord. He is the great I am. He is whatever you need Him to be. So I ask you tonight, do you understand why you have a right to be at the table? Amen. But we also have a right to come to the throne of grace. So maybe somebody has something that they're dealing with, or maybe there's something that you've been struggling with. And maybe you found yourself that you have not opened the gates and allowed the King of Glory to come in. And I want to ask you tonight, if you feel like that's you, will you come and let us pray with you? Or maybe you just have some struggles and you know that you can't handle it by yourself. I'm here to tell you that there's a King that sits on the throne. And He can handle any problem that you got. And the Bible says, where there are two or three gathered in My name, I'll be in the midst. We've got more than two or three gathered here. If you've got a struggle that you're dealing with, and you want us to touch and agree with you, why don't you just come and let us pray with you. God is able. There's nothing that's too hard for Him. If there are others, won't you just come?